From a child's point of view, this is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing, University of Philosophy, Absolute Monastery here in Campo, California, with Absolute Philosopher. From a child's point of view. From a child's point of view, we see many things in life quite differently. Children do not take such a harsh aspect of life. They look at life with a more joyous, more peaceful, more loving point of view. Just for instance, now, there's this little quip told about a child, and the child was looking at his mother's Bible, and in looking at his mother's Bible, he found it okay. He respected it because he knew his mother respected it, but as he looked at the Bible, there were no pictures, and he was flipping through the Bible gently, cautiously, with respect, and a leaf fell out of the Bible. And he turned to his mother and said, "Mother, look." And his mother came over and said, "Yes, dear, what is it?" "Look, Adam's underwear fell out of the Bible." Now, children have a different way of looking at things. They equate everything into their everyday terms, into who and what they are right now. They look at life and take it from its natural point of view. Now, we've been told that Adam wore a fig leaf, and that the fig leaf was his clothing, and for a child, it would be the first step of clothing, his underwear. And so, it'd be most natural that a child might take that point of view, but this child was a very creative child, a very imaginative child, a very illumined child, because this child looked beyond all the appearances, looked beyond all of the evidences, and said, "Wow, can you imagine that?" Now, to keep a leaf in a Bible, to keep a flower in a Bible or in a book, is quite a common thing. Now, what would a child think if they were looking at a book of flowers, and one flower fell right out of the book? They might most naturally think that the flower had been in the book. The flower had grown in the book, and the book got closed on the flower, and the flower dried up and flattened out and became that unusual-looking thing. We as parents have a very wonderful privilege, and that's the privilege of listening to our children. We have the privilege of listening to them, not with our parental point of view, or not with our adult point of view, but with our childish point of view. When we play games with children, do we play games with them from their point of view, from their understanding and from their illumination, or do we expect them to perceive things from our point of view? Well, if we do, we're in for quite a shock, because children just do not look at things from a mature or adult point of view, because they're not yet mature or adult. They may speak in adult terms, because that is what they have heard. They may speak in adult language, because that is what they have understood. That is, that's what they have heard to be used, but not necessarily to understand. I come into this situation quite frequently. I work with students around the world who are in many different languages. And when I'm talking to students in Germany and in Switzerland and in Italy, I will say things in English. And they have a smattering of English, as I have a smattering of their language. And in this smattering of English, they hear what I say. And I look at their faces as I'm speaking, because I can rather interpret whether they got my message or not. And as I speak different words, I say, "Now, do you understand what that word means?" And they'll say, "No." And I'll say, "Well, always tell me." Well, I'd have to tell you an awful lot of times, because you use a lot of words that I don't understand. And I said, "Well, I try to use the most simple words that possible to get across the message. But oftentimes my erudite attitude or experiences or my vocabulary jumps ahead of me, and I have to back up a little bit and speak in languages that they understand. And so, as I make sure with all of our students here on campus, if I ever see a questioning look in their eye, or if they ever say, "Now, what do you mean by that?" I will first say, "Let's get the dictionary." And they'll say, "Oh, don't you know what it means?" "Oh, I know quite well what it means. But I want you to know what the dictionary says that it means. And I want you to know in what relationship the dictionary says it. Because oftentimes there's 1, 2, and 3 interpretations, or 1, 2, and 3 definitions for a word. And the first definition is the most frequently used. However, many of my European students have learned from the English, and they have learned from the British point of view on using these words, and they take the second, third, and sometimes even the fourth definition as their primary definition. And when they do that, then they throw me for a loop. They use words sometimes, and I have to say, "Now, what do you mean by that?" And they tell me, and I say, oh, well, that's not a common use. It's a use, perhaps, that the British might use, but it's not a use that the Americans would use, because it is a confusing use. Can you imagine, with us adults, living in our adult society, having many languages and speaking many languages, and having many definitions, and having many people who say their definitions, such as the British, are the best, and we in America here say our definitions are the best, because these are the ones we use. And children listen to these definitions, and they have even other definitions, because they have definitions defined not necessarily by the dictionary, but by how that word is used. When I speak to my dog, I can say, "Oh, you wonderful pup. Oh, you wonderful boy. Oh, you wonderful boy." I can talk up a storm. I can say, "You are such a fantastic son. You have such beautiful fur. You have such a beautiful..." And he doesn't care what I'm saying. All he knows is that it's nice. And all he knows is that I love him. All he knows is that I appreciate him. Now, when I attempt to get him to think that... or get me to think that he understands all the words that I'm using, I'm barking up a wrong tree. Just like children, just like animals, just like our pets, they don't always understand what we say, but they understand what we say. They don't always understand the words and their definition, but they understand the words and their emotion or their intent. So, when the little boy found Adam's underwear, he was really chagrined and surprised, but he did not think it was unusual. And this is the delight of living in a child consciousness. We do not find things unusual, but we find things such a delight and such a charm. It's fun. Give it a try. Stop being such a bored adult and start being a delighted child, for this is what really makes the world go round, and it makes it an awful lot of fun. Have a wonderful day, and know that I love you. I love you. I love you.